The remaining two resource extraction industries that I shall discuss are the logging industry and the fishing industry. They differ from the oil industry, the hard rock mining industry, and the coal industry in two basic ways. First, trees and fish are renewable resources that reproduce themselves. Hence, if you harvest them at a rate no higher than the rate at which they reproduce, your harvest can be sustained indefinitely. Second, in the logging and fishing industries, the things that you are removing, the trees and the fish, are valuable parts of the environment. Hence, any logging or fishing, almost by definition, may cause environmental damage. For humans, forests represent much value that becomes jeopardized by cutting them down. Most obviously, they are our principal source of timber products. For third world people, who constitute a substantial fraction of the world's population, they are also the principal source of non-timber products, such as natural rope and roofing materials, birds and mammals hunted for food, fruit and nuts and other edible plant parts, and plant-derived medicines. Trees function as the world's major air filter, removing carbon monoxide and other air pollutants. Water transpiration from trees returns water to the atmosphere, so that deforestation tends to cause diminished rainfall and increased desertification. Trees retain water in the soil and keep it moist. They protect the land's surface against landslides, erosion, and sediment runoff into streams. Some forests, notably some tropical rainforests, hold the major portion of an ecosystem's nutrients, so that logging and carting the logs away tends to leave the cleared land infertile. Finally, forests provide the habitat for most other living things on the land. For instance, tropical forests cover 6% of the world's land surface, but hold between 50 and 80% of the world's terrestrial species of plants and animals. Given all these values of forests, loggers have developed many ways of minimizing the potentially negative environmental impacts of logging. These ways include removing individual trees selectively, rather than clear-cutting, logging at a sustainable rate, cutting small patches of forest so that the cut area remains surrounded by trees producing seeds to start regrowth of the logged area, individually replanting trees, and removing individual big trees by helicopter. In the tropics of Southeast Asia and Pacific Islands, large-scale logging is carried out mainly by international logging companies, whose home offices are mainly in Malaysia and also in Taiwan and South Korea. They operate by leasing logging rights on land still owned by local people, exporting unfinished logs and not replanting. Much or most of the value of a log is added on by processing it after it has been felled. Hence, exporting unfinished logs deprives local people and the national government of most of the potential value of their resource. The companies frequently obtain the required government logging permit by bribing government officials and then proceed to cut logs beyond the boundaries of the area actually leased. Alternatively, the companies merely send in a logging ship, quickly negotiate permission with local people, carry out the logging, and dispense with a government permit. For example, about 70% of all wood cut in Indonesia comes from illegal operations that cost the Indonesian government nearly $1 billion a year in lost taxes, royalties, and lease payments. Local permission is obtained by wooing village leaders who may or may not have the power to sign away logging rights, and by taking those leaders to the national capital or overseas to Hong Kong, where they applied with luxury hotel accommodations, food, drink, and prostitutes until they sign. In addition, the company also obtains local acquiescence by making promises that will not be carried out, such as a promise to replant the forest and build hospitals. In some well-publicized cases in Indonesian Borneo, the Solomon Islands, and elsewhere, when loggers have arrived at a forest with a permit from the central government and started logging, local people who realize that this would be a bad deal for them attempted to stop the logging by blocking roads or burning sawmills, whereupon the logging company enlisted the police or army to enforce their rights. With such logging companies, we have to ask ourselves why they behave in a way that is morally reprehensible. The answer, again, is that their behavior is profitable to them. Rape-and-run logging of leased tropical forest land is immensely profitable, and will continue until the companies start to run out of unlogged countries, and until national governments and local landowners are prepared to refuse permission and to muster superior force in order to resist unpermitted logging, backed by force.